The sermon text for this morning's message is taken from 2 Kings, chapter 20, verses 1 to 21. Early on, verses 1 to 11 was read during our responsive scripture reading. So the reading will continue with verse 12 to 21. And I shall be reading from the English Standard Version. Verse 12. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Balabat, king of Babylon, sent envoys with letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah welcomed them and showed them all his treasures, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oil, his armory, all that was found in his storehouses. There was nothing in his house or all of his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet came to Hezekiah and said to him, "What did this man say, and from where did they come from?" And Hezekiah said, "They come from a far away country, from Babylon." He said, "What have they seen in your house?" And Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing in my storehouses that I did not show them." And Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left," said the Lord. "And some of your own sons who will come from you, whom you will father, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord that you have spoken is good." For he thought, "Why not, if there will be peace and security in my days?" The rest of the deeds of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he had made the pool and the conduit that brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in this place. Here ends the reading for this morning. This is the word of the Lord. This morning, we are very glad to have back with us our very much loved advisory pastor, Pastor Yap. He brings us God's message today entitled "Prayer, Power of Prayer and Problem of Pride." Pastor Yap, please.
Just as I was about to come up, I turned around and looked. The suit hanging on that pew is not mine. Pastor Lawrence has mistakenly taken mine. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right.
Sorry.
It's as if I was passing on my mantle. Anyway, I really enjoy preaching without a suit on, so this is a good excuse. Do you know that this account that we have just read from 2 Kings 20 is also found in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, as well as Isaiah 38 and 39? The fact that God records this story three times in three different books of the Bible tells me that this story is very important. If God tells us something once, we should listen carefully because He's God. If He says something twice, we should pay the strictest attention. If He repeats what He has said to us three times, we should drop everything else we are doing. Give full attention to study, to meditate, and then gladly, with his help, obey what he has said. We have been looking at the life of Hezekiah. Last week, we left off with Hezekiah enjoying the benefits of trusting the Lord. Hezekiah, if you recall, he prayed to the Lord and the Lord answered by doing the impossible. The Lord himself destroyed the Assyrian army and sent them back to their own land, where eventually the Assyrian king was killed by his own sons. But there is another moment in the life of Hezekiah God wants us to know. It begins with God's continuing power to answer prayer. The power of prayer, God answers prayer. Hezekiah's trust in the Lord in today's text tells us of a critical moment when he almost lost his life. Isaiah came and delivered a message from the Lord and said to him, "You are about to die." But Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, verses 2 to 3, and the Lord miraculously restored him to health through the means of a cake of figs and then added 15 years to his life. The Lord did not refuse his request for a sign. He asked Isaiah, "How do I know that God's promise to me is true?" The sign was given. The shadow went back 10 steps. That's what we read about in verses 8 to 11. That's the text. I want to share with you three observations. In fact, there are many things, but just three. First, this text teaches us that God is moved. God is touched by our prayers. Hezekiah prayed. He prayed earnestly. And he was healed. We are, as God's people, to express our needs to God, knowing that he hears and he will grant to us, according to his wisdom and time, what's best for us. We must remind ourselves constantly, God will not answer all our petitions in the way we want. Sometimes, as you consider, you should thank God for unanswered prayers. There are some things in my life I've asked God for and he did not answer. And as I look back, I thank God for that. But on this day, the text tells us, the Lord's reply to Hezekiah's request in verse 5, "I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I heal you." God hears our prayers. He sees our tears. The psalmist tells us that God puts our tears in a bottle. He cares. You know, Hezekiah could have developed, after hearing the message, "Put your house in order." He could have developed what we would call today a 5-point plan of end of life, right? He could say, "Yeah, number one, hospice. Number two, DNR, do not resuscitate. Number three, LPA, lasting power of attorney. Number four, organ donation." Maybe Hezekiah did that. We don't know. But we do know one thing. He prayed. He prayed earnestly. How do we know he was very earnest in his prayer? The Bible tells us in verse 3, Hezekiah wept bitterly. Someone has said, What soap is to the body? Tears are to the soul. It seems God honors tears. Tears that are prompted by humble, sincere, broken, contrite hearts. Tears are a language God understands. Are you facing some impossible situation even right now? Maybe physical illness, relationship issue, financial challenge, dealing with a wayward child, pleading with God for the salvation of a loved one, so on and so forth. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a beloved child of God, and your Heavenly Father hears you, especially when you come to Him earnestly, pleading for His help. Come this morning, be reminded that God answers prayer. And He is a wise God, He's a good God, and He would do it in the right time. Secondly, notice Hezekiah wasn't specific in his request. He didn't ask God for a 15-year extension. Not that there is something to complain about, you know, 15 extra years is better than no extra years. So, in following this example, while it's good to be specific in your prayers, God isn't offended when you and I are not. We should pray. We should talk to the Lord often, but with an awareness that whether God adds or subtracts or works things out the way we like or not, we leave it to Him. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, He does it His way. We ask the Lord. We ask the Lord earnestly. But we leave the outcome to Him. That's the second lesson. Third, if like Hezekiah, God sent notice that you are now gifted with 15 more years, what would you do differently than you do now? If you knew that your life will end in 15 years' time, how would you spend your time with your loved ones? How would you invest your time and resources in the life of others? How would you live your life? Would you slow down in some things, and would you be more committed in some other things? Very likely, you and I will not have an advance notice when our departure from this life will occur. Maybe 15 more years, maybe 15 more months, or 15 more hours, even minutes. Right? Only the Lord knows. But whatever the case may be, these precious ticks and tocks of time, they are gifts from the Lord to you and me. Undeserving we are, but God graciously gives to us. Whatever He gives, ask God to help you. I ask God to help me to live my life for Jesus. Live it for Him. I always constantly remind myself the motto of the Apostle Paul. For to me, to live is Christ. And to die, that's gain. I believe this is what it means to die well. If you are at my age, you think about death often. And you want to die well. Die well. Hezekiah received a powerfully answered prayer. It would be a great end to his life story. But regrettably, it is not so. The problem of pride, a restoration to failure. While revealing to Hezekiah that he would recover from his illness, God also told him that he would deliver him and Jerusalem from the king of Assyria. Verses 5 and 6. What does it mean? It means very likely Hezekiah's illness and recovery happened before the Assyrian invasion of Judah described in the previous chapter, last week, 19. It seems that the author of 2 Kings does not seem to tell events in a chronological order. Why? Likely, the author of 2 Kings is making a theological point. Hezekiah's illness and recovery was the occasion for a visit from Merodach-Baladan, the king of Babylon. See, upon hearing Hezekiah's restoration to health, this king sent envoys to him to wish him well and to give him a gift. Verse 12. In the course of this visit, Hezekiah showed the envoys the wealth he has stored up in his treasuries in Jerusalem. Verse 13b tells us, there was nothing in his house or in all his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. It may seem innocent to us, but then if you understand the nature of ancient Near East geopolitics, like today, the various powers in the ancient world were regularly forming alliances. The smaller ones coming together so that they can take on larger empires. And Hezekiah's, I submit to you, showing off the treasuries to the envoys was perhaps his way of telling the king of Babylon, look what I can offer you. If I ever appeal for help against the Assyrians. See, I got money. I got resources. And this suspicion is confirmed when you read the parallel passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. When God allowed Hezekiah to meet with the envoys of Babylon in order to test him. And this is what the writer of 2 Chronicles tell us in verse 31. And so, in the matter of the envoys of the princes of Babylon who had been sent to him to inquire about the sign that had been done in the land, underline this, God left him to himself in order to test him and to know all that was in his heart. This verse doesn't tell us that God doesn't know what's in his heart. It is to show what is in his heart. God already knew, right? Now, Hezekiah's willingness to entertain the possibility of an alliance with another power shows his lack of faith in the Lord God of Israel. Therefore, it displeases God. And Isaiah then rebuked Hezekiah. He says to Hezekiah that the king, the empire, Babylon, that came to check out Hezekiah's resources, he says, would be the same empire to exalt his own sons. Verses 14 to 19 that we read about. Isaiah even recorded this in his book in chapter 39. Follow me. Now, one more observation. 2 Chronicles 32 verse 25 states, but Hezekiah did not make return according to the benefit done to him, for his heart was proud. Therefore, wrath came upon him and Judah and Jerusalem. In response to Hezekiah's earnest prayer, God miraculously, graciously rescued him from death and gave him a 15-year extension. But he did not respond to the benefit and the kindness shown to him because his heart was proud. At times, God's blessing to us may lead us to pride, to self-reliance, to forgetfulness. It is said, Hezekiah's prayer for a longer life is answered only for him to be filled with pride later in life. What God has done for you and for me is always to point us to him. But regrettably, Hezekiah's healing is wasted on him. He did not return according to the benefit he received. Are you wasting? Am I wasting the healing, the blessing that God has so graciously bestowed upon us? Our God has acted first so that we would respond with love, with obedience. And now thinking of what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 5, that it is while we were still enemies of God, helpless sinners, that Christ Jesus died in our place for us. God is constantly telling us what he has done for us so that we would respond in love to him. He never just tell us to obey. He says, see what I've done for you. Respond in love, in appreciation. I think this is a very important lesson we can learn from Hezekiah. Our wealth, our success, our abilities, our prosperity can tempt us to forget the Lord, who is the one who gave it all to us in the first place. Our ability to do well may make us at times to forget how many times that God has intervened in our lives. Just think, how many times God has mercifully turned your darkness into light. How many times God has carried you to those dark valleys. How many times he has seen you through your words. Don't for a moment take those divine interventions for granted. Do not forget him. Don't become proud. Do not think for a moment you excel, you prosper in life because of yourself. Another point to note. Hezekiah's selfish response to Isaiah's prophecy about the fall of his sons tell us how even those who follow God still fall into sin. Verse 19. The passage begins with Hezekiah sick to the point of death. He begs God to heal, and God grants him 15 more years. Perhaps the recovery, the miraculous recovery, made him feel invincible. And then he decides to show off his riches to the Babylonians. God responds to this foolish action by sending Isaiah the prophet to say to him, verses 16 to 18, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord, and some of your own sons who will come from you, whom you will father, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Hezekiah compounds his first mistake with a second. Isaiah prophesied that after Hezekiah is gone, his sons would be captured, mutilated, and the kingdom be destroyed. One would expect when he hear that, he would start repenting and begging God to save his people. But sadly, Hezekiah did nothing. In fact, he said to Isaiah in verse 19, "The word of the Lord that you have spoken is good." Imagine that. For he thought, why not, if there will be peace and security in my days? He is just thinking of himself. After God richly blessed him, Hezekiah has become proud. He has become very self-centered. It has become about him. To the point, he says, if I may paraphrase, "Who cares about others? As long as it's good for me." And he lived for himself all those 15 more years, and he died. How his life ends serves for us, I want to share with you 2 points: a warning and a challenge. Firstly, a warning. It's easy to receive God's blessing and make them all about you. God blesses you with life, with prosperity, family, successes, abilities. And then it's all about you. Your glory, your fame, your comfort, your satisfaction, your enjoyment, your goals. One word: self-gratification. No concern whatsoever for others. Are you using, am I using our success to give glory to our God? Are you and am I using our abilities to lift up God's name? When you become successful in your business, in your work, in your studies, in your career, by overcoming all odds, will you use all this to direct attention to the one who has given you all these things? Hezekiah's evil was not immorality. Was not murder. It was not him leveraging his success, giving glory to God. Has God blessed you? And have you stopped thinking of others? You do not say this thing out loud. You are too refined. I'm too refined to say this. But sometimes we think like Hezekiah, as long as me and my people I love are blessed, it's okay. Is this how you wish to end your life? Have you passed the test of prosperity? Or no, put it away. Have you passed the test of adversity but failed the test of prosperity? In the moment of adversity, you turn to the Lord. In the moment of prosperity, do you turn back on him and turn to yourself? Hezekiah's tragic end points us to the need, definitely, of a greater king. One who would not think of his own interests, but the people's and God's interests. One day, another king of Judah would come. Like Hezekiah, he would trust God in the face of impossible odds. When the armies of Satan came against him, even to the point of putting him on the cross, he never stopped trusting God. But unlike Hezekiah, when death came to him, he didn't ask God to extend his life. Did he? No. Instead, he laid down his life so that the future generations could live. King Hezekiah asked God to extend his life because he couldn't care less about the death of his own children. King Jesus eagerly laid down his life and tasted death so that his children would never have to do so. Thank God for this greater King. The reminder is not about us, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's taking what God has blessed us with and then leverage it not for ourselves, but for Jesus and for those whom Jesus died to save. Are you and will you use God's abundant blessings in your life and leverage them for reaching out to those whom Jesus gave his life for? Coming back to the same thing, how does one live for Jesus? How does one do that? I believe Paul shares with us a very important principle from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 15 to 16. For the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might not no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Paul tells us, when we understand, when we comprehend, when we appreciate, when we grasp Christ's sacrificial love for us, and when we understand all that, he becomes our greatest desire. When you truly value, when you truly grateful for what Jesus has done for you on the cross, you no longer live for yourself, but for him who loved you and who gave himself for you. It is like as your love for Jesus grows, it displaces the love for self, for sin. You get that? Maybe in our congregation, a few, maybe a small number of you, do not profess Jesus. You need to come to Jesus. Only in him you can find the ultimate help, the ultimate satisfaction. Many of us here profess Jesus, but may not possess Jesus. And many of us here may say, we possess Jesus, but Jesus is not the most treasured possession in your life. I say this again. If you have not professed Jesus this morning, you want to consider this seriously. If you have already professed Jesus with your lips, question is, have you possessed Jesus? And if you believe that you have possessed Jesus, is Jesus your greatest, most treasured, most valuable possession? And by the way, that is one way of how you know you have grown in your Christian life compared to 1 year ago? Where is Jesus in your life? Quickly, the challenge. Challenges us to pray. Right? The text. God is moved by our prayers. We need to express our needs to God. Just reminded yesterday when I read Matthew 7, verses 9 to 11, when Jesus says, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Bring your request to God, big or small. It's not about the prayer. It's about God who hears the prayer. Make your request known to God. What's your need? Physical ailment, financial problem, interpersonal conflict, struggling with sin, unforgiveness, drug abuse, pornography, gambling, or even gaming addiction? Come to your Father. He knows your needs and He can help you. Don't put a limit to what He can do and cannot do in your life. And this month, August, is designated as Prayer Month. How appropriate. How appropriate. When we work, we work. When we pray, God works. Bring your request, your need to God today. Let's pause for prayer. Spend a moment doing business with God. Ask Him to search your heart. Where is Jesus in your life? Also bring to Him a need you have this day. Thank Him that He can help you with this need. We thank You, our gracious Father, that You know each one of us and You know the condition we are in. Please, through Your Spirit, minister to us. And we ask this in the name of Jesus and for Your glory. Amen.